Okay, we'll pray and we'll jump into this. Father God, we bless you as we have another opportunity to get in your word this evening in training school. We seek for wisdom and understanding, and we thank you for all of it that you reveal. We just glorify you for all that you do. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Just before we get into the lesson on tonight, there are some things that, but this has happened a few years ago, for some of the things that I've been looking at, but it's still in place even on today, is, you know, I think the FBI, whoever has listed the Hebrew Israelite groups as terrorist groups and things like that from some of the things that that they say, and what's vitally important for us to understand is that we don't allow we don't allow that labeling to intimidate us from the truth. But at the same time, I do agree to certain perspectives of what the FBI, the government, whatever you want to call it, identifying these groups as terroristic groups, because there are things that they say that goes against the scripture. And it's one of the things that I say to some of them when I run across them is I ask them, okay, since we are the chosen people, then what is our mission? And most of them are, and I'll change that, pretty much all of them go blank when I ask them that, because what we've come to understand is that understanding who we are causes a responsibility to go with that understanding, and that is not a license to start teaching hate. And so you have these groups who are saying things like, you know, well, you know, God hates the white man and different kind of stuff like that, and that it just don't make no sense for you know, for those type of things to be stated. And that is terroristic. That is hatred when you have groups who come across that way. And who come across saying things like, you know, God's gonna destroy America and stuff like that. Those are terms that you don't operate in foolishness, because there are things have changed, and since things have changed, we have to be wise in how we say certain things. And we know that the scripture is going to be fulfilled. But at the same time, we say things according to the scripture. So I wouldn't say that that Yah is going to destroy this country, but I will say that Yah is going to judge. He's going to judge everything that operates in unrighteousness. He's going to judge everything that has had Israel in captivity. And so, well, you know, as long as we learn the right words to say that's in line with the scriptures, then there's nothing that could be brought from a personal standpoint, because we do have a free will. We do have a right to speak the scriptures. And anytime anyone try to get us to say anything opposite of what the scripture says, then that's when we understand our ground. I mean, even as far as the law that has been passed as far as gay rights is concerned. You know, you get churches that specifically magnify and attack those gay rights. Well, I'm not concerned about, you know, the rights as far as the laws have been passed on that perspective. But I am making sure that I live my lifestyle according to what the scripture says. Now, if anyone else want to do the opposite of that, that's their business. And so the law doesn't affect me from a perspective of causing me to bow down and to do anything against my will from those perspectives, you know. Even when it comes down as far as marriage, you know, doing weddings and things like that is concerned, that's a personal preference. I don't do weddings based upon me being a pastor of a church. I do weddings because I'm qualified and have the licenses to do weddings, so it's a personal thing. And would it being a something that I have the choice to do outside the confines of the church, because I marry people all over. And so because I do that outside the confines of the church, then it is my choice to decide who or who not I want to marry. You know, I don't marry people because I'm their pastor. I marry people because I'm led to marry people, you know. And so, you know, that's how it works as far as that is concerned. And so, looking at it in the prettiness of what it is, they do have some legitimate causes for concern, because you have some Israelites who do operate like thugs and things like that, and who do make foolish threats. And it's hard for me to sit there and watch some of them, because they sitting out there, they preaching hate and all this here and talking crazy and all those different things, man. And I'll be like, yeah, okay, that's not our mission. Yah has a mission for all mankind to be redeemed. It's just that we understand the order that, you know, we are the nation. He loves everyone. But what he does, he hates foolishness. And that's whether it's coming from an Israelite or not. And so as long as we stay within the boundaries of that truth, then we will, we will be in a position where Yah can protect us through wisdom and through, you know, inside ideas and concepts to allow us to deal with the things that that need to be dealt with, and we don't have to, put ourselves in a position to be incarcerated or labeled as a certain thing because of the hate that we have associated with it. You know, we as a minister don't hate anybody, but at the same time, we're going to say exactly what the scripture says and going to teach it exactly how the scripture says, or exactly how the scripture reveals the word. We're going to teach it. We're going to stand on it, and we will not operate it in fear from any system, whether it's the government, whether it's the FBI, whatever. We will teach the scriptures in truth, precept upon precept, line upon line. In other words, command upon command, and connecting the commands upon the upon connecting the commands. So there are some groups. Again, specific names of ministries and things like that that are being labeled. But again, when you watch these guys on YouTube, you'd be like, man, these some crazy dudes. And they out here, you know, talking about hate and God hates that white man and all. I'd be like, ain't nobody got time for all that. You know, we need to take responsibility and realize that through us lining up as a people, all families of the earth can be blessed. And that's what we want to see the will of Yah come to pass from that perspective. And so keep that in mind. I don't necessarily wear the towel or say, you know, I'm a Hebrew Israelite, but I will say that I am a Hebrew. I will say that I am an Israelite, and I will say that I am of the nation of Israel. But wisdom says don't wear that term Hebrew Israelite, because that's identifying our nation with some kind of labeling as far as a religious or a cult-like group. And I don't want to be a part of no cult. We are the Israelites. The Bible says, calls us Israel. Bible calls us Hebrews. You know. And so those are the titles by which we will admit that we are. But I don't recall, at least at this point, where I read the scripture that says Hebrew Israelite. But it has been, we have been Hebrews or Israelites or Israel, something like that. So so that's how I label it, instead of again, the title that connects us to, that connects us to a cult, like group. So we don't have no interest in that. So, and I'm just making sure before I move on. No, there is no. Oh, wait a minute. Let me try it again. There is no scripture that says Hebrew Israelite, so we won't confess it or say that's what we are. We will say we're Hebrew, or we'll say we're Israelite, or the children of Israel. We'll stay in line with the scripture instead of getting caught up into groups. I have no interest in that whatsoever. And I think that's just another group that will lead the nation of Israel into the slaughter because of the hate that's associated with the things that they say. Okay. Now, we'll go to Isaiah chapter 10, and we'll finish up there, and we'll jump right into chapter 11. We'll look at verse 20. And then we'll go into chapter 11. I've been trying to get to chapter 11 for a while. Now, remember, we dealt with some things, reviewing just a little bit. We dealt with some things as far as Assyria is concerned. Whereas we went back to 2 Kings 19 and we looked at some things from the 185,000 men who were killed by the angel of Yah because they were trying to attack Judah. Well, as we look at some things and dealt with verse 18 and 19 of Isaiah chapter 10, we saw that that was the end of the story, and that the king of Assyria ended up getting killed by his sons, and from there his sons, I think, fled to another area, region, some cities. I can't remember exactly what they are. I have to go back to the scriptures and remember exact place, but I don't want to do that. As we get into verse 20, it says, and it came to pass in that day. When you start seeing scriptures that reveal some things where it starts saying, and it came to pass in that day, you automatically start to say, okay, for it to say this, then it's changing. Is changing the story, or giving clear understanding of the story. Most of the time, it's talking about a future event that's past this event when you start reading the scripture. So that's a signpost to let you know that, okay, I need to pay attention to this here because it's giving me some more information. Okay? So verse 20 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon or depend upon him that smote him, but shall stay upon the Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Okay. Then verse 21. It says the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty Yah. For though the people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. We dealt with this, so I'm not spending a whole lot of time on it. For Jehovah Yah of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore, saith Jehovah Yah of hosts. And so as you look at verse 23, it's letting us know that there are some things that Yah has decreed in the future, that Isaiah talked about, that's been decreed in the future, especially dealing with the king of Assyria and bringing down his arm, and then also our future. And so when you look at that 23, when it says, for Jehovah Yahweh shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of the land, there are scriptures that confirm what this consumption is. One is Daniel 9 and 27, where it reveals this future Assyrian that is going to cause issues with the nation of Israel. The Bible calls him in Daniel 7 the little horn. Revelation calls him the beast. And so there is a leader who is going to rise in our future that is going to be the leader of an empire, or the eighth and final empire that is soon to rise. And he is going to take this world through some things that has never been seen in the history of mankind. Okay, but he's compared to this Assyrian he's compared to this Assyrian of verse 1 through 19. Okay, now. Again, verse 23 says, for Jehovah Yah of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah Yah of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians. And so he's calling the Assyrian because he let you know that this little horn of Daniel 7, this beast of Revelation, that this individual has the same mindset as the Assyrian king, and that the Assyrian king thought nothing could stop him. He looked at everything as being eggs in a bird's nest. And so that's why the scripture keeps calling the future leader that will attack the nation of Israel an Assyrian, or the Assyrian. It's identifying his character in reality. It said, he shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. And so, again, you reference Exodus 14, verse 1 through 31, that will give us an understanding of what the manner of Egypt is like, okay? I mean, the manner of the Egyptian, the Assyrian is like. Verse 25 says, for yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease. In other words, it lets us know that this eighth beast. Now, what I mean by beast, I'm gonna just remind you in a review. When you go to Revelation and you read beast, you have to, especially when they talk about the seven heads. When it says beast comes out of the sea having seven heads and ten horns, well, the seven heads is a kingdom, and so when it mentions beast or talking about a rising beast, it's talking about a rising kingdom who has a leader, because every beast or every kingdom had a leader. You had Assyria who had a leader. We've read about that leader dealing with the Assyrian in verse 1 through 19. That's one of the heads of the beast. It has seven heads. That's one of the heads. Assyria was one of the heads. Well, Egypt was the first head. Assyria was the second head. Babylon, the third. Medo-Persia, the fourth. Greece, the fifth. Rome, the sixth. And the Revised Roman Empire is the seventh. The Revised Roman Empire territory is the seventh, because it's not just Rome, but it is a combination of leaders that have all come together to revise a Roman mindset. Okay, it still has ties to it, but it's the territory and not just Rome itself. So it's not just the Vatican as far as, you know, what you get people that would say, but it's a combination of all these things that make up the revised Roman Empire territory. Okay, and so as we deal with this here, it says this next one is talking about the little horn of Daniel 7, or the beast, or the eighth beast of Revelation. It says, for yet a very little while, that confirms Daniel 9, that says time, and half a time, which is 3.5 years, or when you look at the total of his reign, you're looking at about 7 years for this eighth beast to come into his full head and everything is dealt with. That's how the scripture says when it rises, it's only going to be there for a little while. So the current system that you see that's in place has been in place for decades. It's been in place for, I'm thinking, hundreds of years now. Okay, it's been in place for a long period of time. This revised Roman Empire territory has been in place for a long time. It's been, you know, and so when you look at it, you're seeing, even as far as our country, you know, our country is concerned, you know, and you look at the time frame we've been here as a nation of people in this land. I mean, that's not a short time. So it's letting us know that there's something coming after this. But because of our mindset, specifically as Americans, we don't believe that we're going to be dealt with as a nation. But the Bible points to the fact that we are, that something is going to happen, where some things are going to change. This reign that we see now is going to crumble based upon the scriptures. It's not something that I'm saying, you know, so that, you know, to give the impression that it's something that we're trying to do to bring about. We're just interpreting the scriptures. So the scripture said for very, not a little while, but a very little while. When you look at a very little while or 7 years in comparison to all these other reigns, that's a very little while. Okay? and so that's what we are to understand, that there's a system that's coming up that's going to have a leader, and it's going to reign, this kingdom is going to reign for a very little while. Verse 25, for yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And Jehovah of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb, and as his rod was up on the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. What rod? Up on what sea? Stretch that rod out. What did Moses do? That's, I'm gonna deal with the Pharaoh. So as you look at things here, throw little things out there to let you know that there were leaders that made up kingdoms that he dealt with. So he brings up Egypt because Egypt was a kingdom, a beast that ruled Israel. He deals with the Assyrians to expose the future Assyrians. So there are characters that's being identified from these kingdoms to let us know that this last beast that's going to rise is going to have personalities of all these kingdoms. He's going to have the personality of Egypt. He's going to have the personality of Assyria. He's going to have the personality of Nebuchadnezzar, of Babylon. He's going to have the personality of Medo-Persia, of Greece, of Rome. This last beast is going to have all those personalities. So everything you see in the scripture that these kingdoms did, you're going to see it carried out within this one kingdom that's going to rise in a short period of time. Rise for a short period of time. Okay? And so that's why these scriptures are being referenced. Then he's letting us know who's going to deal with that. So it's not our responsibility to try to fight against this beast. Apart from the scriptures being fulfilled about what we're supposed to do. Power's going to be given into his hand based upon Daniel Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 7. Power is going to be given into this system hand. They're going to accomplish the goal. So we have to understand that. So it's foolish to try to rise up and we're going to take back our country and we're going to take this back. All that's foolishness, because now we're going against the decree of Yah. We're going to be put in harm's way. I experienced an incident on, when was it, man? Monday? Monday I went to Home Depot. Guy comes out, I'm checking out. Guy tried to steal some equipment. I believe it was Monday. Guy tried to steal some equipment, and they end up catching him at the door, and the guys, two guys from Home Depot, tried to restrain him. And so he started, you know, fighting him, and then all of a sudden I was getting ready to walk out. And his cousin came in and started swinging at everybody. He was swinging at everybody but me. And I was standing pretty much closest to him as anybody else. He was just swinging at people and swinging at people, telling them to let his cousin go and all this here. Long story short, you know, this big white guy comes in and after they pin him down too and steps on his neck. Well, when he stepped on his neck, all of Israelites got mad. You need to get off his neck. And so I'm sitting here looking at all this stuff going down and everybody getting mad and you know, folks starting to want to fight. And I'm sitting there looking at all this and I'm like, man, I'm like, we just don't know as a people that some things are being fulfilled. And if we understood it as a people to start educating people on why these things are going on, you know, we wouldn't be so upset while these events are going on. It doesn't make me it's hurtful to see something like that happen to you people. But it doesn't make me angry because I understand the scriptures are being fulfilled. So you don't get caught up into that hype. And I was talking to my youngest daughter today. She was sharing with me about some things that, you know, that happen on Facebook, and people get, you know, upset because, you know, you have been a post about some things that's not fair, and truly it is not fair to certain perspectives that's happening to us as a people. But then you look at other nations, other races of people, that it's like they always have the mindset to look for anything to justify the wrong that happened to us. And what I shared with her, I said, it's at the stage now where we can be standing on the sidewalk with a cup, and somebody come and knock the cup out of our hand and beat us down or maybe shoot us, and some nut will say, well, they shouldn't have had a cup in their hand. It's like any little thing is looked for to justify why we're being treated the way that we are. Well, we don't get caught up into that as a people because the scripture said that we would be dealt with that way. So you look at it, or we look at it, and we have to understand, don't get caught up into that drama that's associated with what's happening with us as a people in order to cause us to react in a way that is outside of being led. Here we go again. Remember the review we had Sunday? You know, from being led by Yah to now get caught up into it because we're looking at these things happen to our nation. It should click with us. This is a fulfillment of Scripture. This is being fulfilled. This guy comes out of here and try to walk out of a store with some stuff he didn't have no business doing. Now he's down on the ground trying to fight folks, and then, you know, somebody busts him upside the head, and we sit up there mad because he done got busted upside the head. Well, I saw the rascal walk out of there with all that food, and so I told the police, hey, I saw everything. Yeah, he did it. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. But at the same time, the things that, you know, there's an old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. The guy didn't have no business coming and stepping on his neck. Then turn around and put his knee in his back. He's a big old dude. And so you got all the other brothers getting mad now, saying, man, you need to get your feet off his neck, and you need to get your feet out of his back. You know, it's going to go down. And so it's important for us to have wisdom and things like that. I understand the scriptures are being fulfilled. We have to operate in wisdom and don't get caught up in all that drama of people feeling justified because these things are happening to us or making excuses or whatever, don't get caught up into it. It's not worth it. You know, I had a talk last night with my sister about some things that was, you know, that happened, and I like how she addressed it, because, you know, the girl she grew up with that posted some stuff about the flag, you know, and she just asked a question. She said, "I don't understand why you did it." That's all she said. She said, "I just don't understand the reasoning of why you put this up here." Then she left it at that. Well, it ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. But at the same time, you know, it was done in a way to, you know, and then the girl had a response that ain't nothing wrong with the flag. And there was no more response from that. But it's like, okay, yeah, there's nothing wrong with the flag itself, but the timing and the way you doing this is something wrong. And so she wasn't dealing with her about the flag. I mean, she wasn't having issues from a perspective of the flag. She was having the issue with the mindset of a person that she considers a friend. And so those things are okay to, you know, to deal with. Okay, what is it about you that makes you speak these things the way that you do? And so that had a certain perspective associated with it. And so, but again, all these things are being filled, and we're to understand that. And so as we look at verse 26, it says, "Jehovah of hosts shall stir up a score for him according to the flood of Midian at the rock of Oreb, and as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift up after the man of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day." See, that's letting us know. It shall come to pass in one, what day? When he come to his reign for this little while, it shall come to pass when you see these events taking place. Now it shifts from verse 20 to letting us know that this is talking about another individual in another kingdom, to saying, "I'm going to give you some signposts to let you know when he's going to get dealt with." That's why it says now, verse 27, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulders, and his anointing and his yoke from off thy neck." Whose burden? That beast, that Assyria, the future Assyria. The Bible calls him a little horn in Daniel 7. So it lets us know that he's going to be able to do things after the man of Israel, I mean after the man of Egypt. So he's going to be oppressing Israel. So Yah said, "Okay, I'm going to remove his burden. I'm going to destroy his yoke from off you as a people's neck. And here's how I'm going to do it. It's going to be because of the anointing." What anointing? We keep reading. What is this anointing that's going to deal with this kingdom that's going to come? He has come. Verse 8:28. He has come to Ayah. He has passed to Migron and Michmash. He has laid up his carriages. They are gone over the passage. They have taken up their lodging at Jeba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah falls, fled. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galilee. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Verse 31, madness is removed. The inhabitants of Jebus gathered themselves to flee, and ye shall remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Let you know this, what this guy is gonna do. He's coming against Jerusalem. But look at what it says. Behold, verse 33. Behold, Yah, the Jehovah of hosts. Behold, Jehovah, the Yah of hosts, shall lock the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewed down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron. And Lebanon shall fall by the mighty one, fall by a mighty one. You go in the next chapter, you start to see now, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. The spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh, and shall make him, so we notice the him who's coming. We notice the him who's in chapter 10 that is going to be able to remove the burden and destroy the yoke because of the anointing. The anointing that's upon him. And shall make him of quick understanding. Verse 3. In the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge. So not only is he coming, but he's coming to judge. We know that's talking about Christ. Christ is going to deal with the future of Assyrians. So so that is no way we're going to, you know, you get some people coming, let's take America back. Let's rise up and take all this, you know, this stuff that's going on with these systems and all this is in place. The Bible is telling us how it's going to happen. So anybody who get outside of that is in trouble. It's in trouble. We don't operate outside the will of Yah. We don't go and try, like preachers are doing, try to fight against the gay rights that's been passed. The scripture's telling us that ain't your fight. You fighting against a system. You fighting against the kingdom. Little old you fighting against the kingdom. I don't care if you pull a couple of thousand of you together. You're still dealing with a kingdom. And you're not going to bring the kingdom down. Yah's the only one who can raise up a kingdom and bring it down. Okay? And so he's letting us know how he's going to do it. Verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears. Remember when I was talking about being led, when I was dealing with being led? We don't go by the senses. When Christ can't come, he's not going to go by somebody who look like they love him, or who say that they love him with all the words. He's going to judge based upon how he is led by the Spirit. That's why it's valid for the G-race to be led and to operate the same way. And so it is showing that he's going to deal with this system. Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, when you look at this, in order to understand, most people think when Christ comes, it's going to be a fight between the heavenly host and me and here on earth. No! When Christ descends, the scripture reveals that these armies are going to be destroyed from the brightness of his coming. It ain't like he's going to have to come down and actually fight. You're talking about the King of Kings and the Yahweh of Lords that's going to be coming down, and he's going to descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And so as he comes, it's like that's what the scripture is letting us know here. It says, and he smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. He's going to say, I don't know what he's going to say, but when he comes, whatever he says is going to destroy the army. The brightness of his coming is going to destroy these armies. So when you see Hollywood and all this, because they understand what's going to take place, that's why they show you these movies about alien invasions and all these different things. That's why you start to hear more and more about alien invasions, because it is part of the process by which all these armies will come together at what the scripture calls Armageddon. That's why when you go up and look at chapter 10, And some of those later verses where it's talking about he's going to humble the king, humble the princes or the leaders. When you look at, let me see. That's how you understand this is what he's referring to. Let me go back. Yeah, verse 30, Isaiah 10, verse 34, and he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. In verse 33, behold, Yahweh, the Yah of hosts, shall lock the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewed down. That's what he's talking about. He's gonna judge all this unrighteousness. That's why I said in verse 4 of Isaiah 11, it says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He's going from the words that he say, he's going to slay the wicked. That's how he's going to do it. Okay, and the scripture confirm it. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 said, "Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom Jehovah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." There ain't going to be no fist fight when Christ show up. They're dealing with the Son of Yah incarnate. He ain't gonna have no issues dealing with no mere man. That's why when they show these different movies, you know, but they always show that, you know, we as mankind overcome. It's just that there ain't gonna be no overcoming when Christ returns. He's sitting it up. But as you see, when they would always show these different type of alien like movies, they would always show with weapons that were way more advanced than what we had here. Christ is way more advanced than anything they're going to be able to point at him. I'll put it that way. Alright, verse 5 says, and righteousness shall be the girl of his loins, and faithfulness the girl of his reign. Then he starts to show what's going to take place from him returning. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. When Christ comes, when he returns and set up his kingdom here, it's going to be harmony everywhere. The wolf that would normally eat a lamb is going to lay with the lamb. It's going to be a wonderful time, y'all, when he returns. We're blessed to see him in his coming. The leopard shall lay with the kids. Okay, the leopard shall lay with the young goat, and the calf with the young lion. You don't see that kind of stuff happening. You don't see a cow laying with a lion out there in the jungle now. But y'all said when Christ returns, that's how it's going to be. And the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine someone having a lion for a pet? Okay, that's how mild mannered and tame they're going to be. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lay down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Things are going back to his original intent. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the axe, and the winged child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. These are poisonous snakes. Gonna be able to reach down and a kid, little baby gonna be able to reach down in the hole and just pull one up. Ain't gonna be no thing gonna happen to them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. All this is dealing with the land. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yah, as the waters cover the sea. When Christ returns, the world is gonna be full. That's when our mission is gonna kick in. We're going to be the priest of the earth. Well, other scriptures points out we're going to be the priest of the earth, and you're going to see us now going all over the world teaching the real gospel, teaching the true word to mankind instead of all this religious stuff that you hear. Okay, then verse 10 says, and in that day. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, banner, a rallying point. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. When you deal with the rest, I mean it's dealing with, you know, things are going to be peaceful. It's going to be a peaceful time when Christ returns. Other nations besides the children of Israel now, that's why I said earlier, what the Hebrew Israelites are dealing with in these groups, it don't line up with scripture. They're preaching hate when all the time, Yah is saying, when I send my son, he's going to be an ensign that the Gentiles, all nations going to come to him. Not just Israel. And so for us to teach that, you're going to be labeled as a terrorist when you're not preaching or teaching the true meaning of the scripture. Y'all ain't said nothing about when he come, he going to destroy all white people. That's them fools saying that. I'm saying they fool because that's how they acted. That's foolish stuff. Y'all ain't saying that in his word, that when he show up, he going to destroy all white people. He said, when I show up, I'm going to be the ensign where all nations will see. They all going to rally to me. The knowledge of me is going to be in the whole world. Yah is going to be, verse 9, the knowledge of Yah shall be as the water covers the sea. Everybody going to know about Yah. Now, why would these groups turn around now and preach this hate standing on the street? You passing by, they cussing out white people, calling them devils and all that kind of stuff. The devil's the one with the mic. And so we can't teach that. But at the same time, we do understand what the scripture said. Wickedness is going to be dealt with. So I don't care what color they are, wickedness is going to be dealt with. Whether that's the Israelites, the ones standing out on the street preaching this hate, they're going to be dealt with. Anybody that is operating in wickedness is going to be dealt with. That's what the Bible says. Revelation confirms that everything that lines up with that beast, take the mark and his name and his number, you know, everything that lines up with that beast, Yah said he's going to cut it off in the brightness of the coming of his son. Well, that's the wickedness that he's talking about. He's not talking about everybody, you know. Not every white people is in on this foolishness that's going on, this wickedness. But everybody's going to get dealt with who operating in wickedness. That's what we got to understand. Okay? And as he deal with this, then we go and look at the scripture. When Christ comes, he's dealing with. That's why I keep telling us as a people, we are going home. I don't care what any system says. I don't care what, you know, the government says, what the FBI says. It doesn't matter what any of them say. Let Yah's word be the truth and every man a liar. The Bible says, not me. It is not my personal opinion. I don't even have a clue, don't have the means, don't know how we would get back as a people. I'm just obeying what the Bible and in agreement with the Bible says. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious, his peace shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass that Jehovah shall sit his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt. Now, when you look at Isaiah 10, it lets you know that a remnant is going to be in Zion when this beast initially rises to its fullest. Or I won't say ride to his fullest. I'll say when he starts to come after Israel, they will be in the land. They will flee based upon Revelation, even based upon Isaiah chapter 10, because it's going to be like Egypt. But then the scripture reveals that when all this is dealt with, that the remnant or the ones who remain after all this takes place will be gathered from different areas, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for all nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So it lets you know that Israelites are scattered all over the world. And so when these events are taking place, he's letting us know that not all Israel going back home initially. Because Israel is scattered all over. Before this last beast rises, all Israel is not going to be back in that land. A remnant of Israel is going to be back in that land to fulfill the scripture, whereas that woman has to flee out in the wilderness, or Israel has to flee out in the wilderness, where she's going to be protected for 3.5 years. It's going to be the only place where Israel is going to be fully protected. But at the same time, he's still going to be dealing with remnants of Israel who are going to be all over the world. who operating in wisdom that's going to remain or survive. And that's what he's saying in verse. That's what he's saying in verse 12. Verse 11. And it shall come to pass that Jehovah shall set his hand again to the second time to recover the remnant of his people. And remnant is the surviving of his people, which are left. The residue, the rest of them, who are left in Assyria, who are left in Patros, who are left in Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath from the islands of the sea. So he's letting us know that that there are still Israelites to this day that's in Africa. Egypt is Africa. They're trying to call it the Middle East, but it's Africa. And so he's letting us know there are Israelites that's still in those regions today. And then he adds to it in verse 12 and said, but they're dispersed, they're outcast. In other words, there are those who are not in the immediate area of Jerusalem. Because those who are in Jerusalem, in the immediate area or in the region of Africa, they're going to be able to migrate, they're going to be able to walk back to the land. But there are some that's too far, they're all over the world. He said, I'm going to gather them. That's what the rapture is. What the church called the rapture. He's going to gather from all over the world. Verse 12, and he shall sit up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Well, even when you look at it, let's just say this for the sake of conversation. Those people who are saying that they're Jews that's in the land today, well, when this event happened, even if they were the actual Jews or the tribe of Judah, you still got 11 more got to come from somewhere. They're not going to have sole possession of that land, although they're not the people. I'm just saying just for the sake of if it was that way. And so it's vitally important for us to understand you can't have just a small group of people in comparison to all the tribes, the 12 tribes, that just got sole possession of that land. That just doesn't line up with Scripture. That's why the Scripture is saying in Isaiah 11, verse 11 and 12, that all of them are dispersed. Even Judah is still dispersed. All Israel is dispersed. Okay, you have in 11, you have some that's still in Africa. You have Jews in Egypt. You have Jews in Patros. You have Jews in Cush. Y'all see this? Cush is Ethiopia. So now you understand why these so-called Jews that went to Ethiopia to get a group, now they're kicking them back out of the land. Wait a minute, it don't make sense. Are they Israelites or are they not? So you get people who will try to bootleg the Scripture and try to pretend by saying, well, let's go get these Ethiopians that's over in Cush. Because the Bible says they're in Cush or in Ethiopia. Let's go get them, bring them back in the land and fulfill that. Well, you go get them and they're all black folks. Something wrong with that. Why is Judah all white and all these Ethiopians you go get all black? Something ain't adding up. What happened to Judah? What happened to Judah and the rest of the tribe? If you're going to get Ethiopians, then every last one of them you're going to get black, but then every tribe of Judah you get is white. Something wrong. These brothers, blood brothers, what's wrong with this picture? And so when you look at the Scripture, when Christ returns, okay, now you're going to see the remnant now who are crossing back from Africa, because we fled into Africa in Matthew 24, we fled from Judea into the mountains of Africa, or into the mountains, which is Africa. Now we're starting to migrate back, because once we migrated into Africa, as you see verse 12, it says, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts. Once we went into Africa, we were outcast from that region all over the world. So we're labeled as outcasts here. We were outcast from the region or dispersed. from the region to where we are all over the world today. Okay? And he shall set up an ensign, verse 12, for the nation shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah. Outcast, I'm going to define it, it means drive away. So it lets you know that Israel has been driven away from the homeland. They were driven away. Now the word dispersed means scattered. You have some who were driven away, you have some who were scattered, basically saying, in a nutshell, that these people were forced from that region, were taken from that region by force. They were scattered, they were outcast, they were driven away. It wasn't their choice. Dispersed of Judah, where are they? From the four corners of the earth. Pick any corner of the earth, y'all say they're there. I'm going to draw them back home. Then he says to identify who he's talking about, he said, an envy also of Ephraim shall depart. Now, when you read Ephraim, it lets you know, since Ephraim has been considered, or was in a nutshell, called the son of Israel, he has taken the birthright as the leading tribe of the ten tribes. So Ephraim is identified, instead of saying Israel and Judah, he names Ephraim because Ephraim now is the head of those ten tribes, so to speak. He's the heir or the head. He's the identifying head of those ten tribes or the northern tribe, just like Judah is the identifying head of Benjamin and Judah. So that's why he said, and verse 13, the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. He's letting us know that you have Israelites today, because when you study the history of who the Israelites are, some of your Mexican people are, because the slave was taken there, and there was a mingling that went on there, and so you have now Ephraim, and then you have Judah, where Judah means praise. Give you understanding why we get so excited and want to shout at church and all that kind of stuff. But there's this separation between Ephraim and Judah. We're brothers, but there's still a little bit some about us that make us look crazy at one another. That is the fulfillment of Scripture that says the ten tribes and Benjamin, the ten tribes will be in agreement, and Judah and Benjamin will stay in agreement. But Yah said, I'm going to bring them all together in the end. So there are Israelites that we will look at, and we don't necessarily get along with right now, but it don't mean they're not Israelites. It's just the Bible has to be fulfilled in saying that we as nations will not come together and be one nation in total agreement as nations until Christ returns. So there are Latinos and all that who are identified. When you check their history, they do have Israelite ancestors in their DNA, the same as we do, but yet we identify one another as different races of people, because Ephraim and Judah, they vexed one another still. But the vexing takes place, yes, sir?
I was just saying, just looking up, so when in verse
12.
What I think is interesting, I was just looking up the so-called Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They were never dispersed from Israel. They were attacked in the land where they were at. They were never dispersed from Israel.
Right.
So, in fact, Hitler never came to Israel. Right. So for those stories to line up, it don't apply because they were never dispersed from Israel.
Right. When you look at what happened what happened, you know, like I said, you get some that say the Holocaust is not, there's no evidence to show that it actually takes place. I'm just going to play along. Let's say it did take place. But like Alan said, it goes against scripture from this perspective. Okay, let's say it did take place. It didn't take place in the land to force them away from the land. The only record of them with that land is that they came into it. There is no actual record to show that they was dispersed from anywhere. Or from, I'm going to say change that, dispersed from Israel. But there is record that they were dispersed from other lands, Germany, I believe Russia, which when you check their history, it identifies as where they're from. So they were dispersed, and things happened from the area where they were from. Like Alan said, there's no evidence, Scripture does not even confirm it, to show that they were actually dealt with in Israel. But there's evidence to point to where we were dealt with from. They wasn't dispersed. Judah or the Jews wasn't dispersed from Jerusalem. There's only record of them coming into it. They'll tell you they were dispersed because they say they are, but they have no physical evidence to show that they ever were in the land. Now, is it, you can't go dig up ancestors of theirs in the land. Because Israel is being murdered during these time frames. You can't go dig up none of their ancestors before, 1948? You can't dig them up because they ain't there. So they were never dispersed from there. Okay? And so, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And so, as we deal with that, you can go and you can find all these evidences. From the tombs of Egypt, whereas you see the drawings on the wall that will show you actual drawings of Israelites when they were in captivity in Egypt. They're black men with dreads and black women with dreads and beards and things like that. The evidence is there. The drawings of Egypt, the Pharaoh's tombs and all that. You go look at them when they show Israel's in captivity. They are the black people that's coming out of there. Rock's crying out. Rock's telling the truth. And so to teach that truth is just telling the truth from the perspective of the scripture. We're not trying to preach hate to somebody. We're just telling the truth. So if you want to call the truth hate, then what can we say? We're going to stick with the truth. So if you look at verse 13, and we'll go ahead and get ready to close, because it lets us know, and you watch. It says, verse 13 said, the envy of Ephraim, which is a 10 tribe, you're going to start seeing all Israelites come together. The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines. Okay? Toward the west. They shall spar them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab. These are Lot's people. Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And Jehovah shall utterly destroy the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river and shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. In other words, he's going to dry up. Well, verse 16 said, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of the people, which shall be left in Assyria. So they're going to, the streams and the rivers and the seas are going to dry up to let these people cross back over into their homeland. So let our nation cross back in our homeland. As far as I know, they're not, these Jews that's in the land now, they're not over in Egypt and all these different areas that the scripture is talking about here. So So they're going to migrate. They're going to come back. They're going to come from Assyria. Verse 16, a highway for the and there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was Israel in the day they came up out of the land of Egypt. So as the Red Sea parted, these things gonna be opening up, letting the people cross over on dry ground again. So think about that. I'm just gonna say this now. When you look at the nation of Israel that's coming back from the four corners of the earth, and it's just a thought. I know there's some catching up and different things like that the scripture talk about. But just imagine these seas that's around the United States start to part so that nations can go home. I'm just trying to give you some form of mental picture to show you how supernatural these things gonna be taking place, and other nations also gonna be helping to get the nation of Israel back home. I'm just saying, but when you look at the scripture here, it talks about in the immediate areas the sea and the stream is gonna be parted and things like that. But then it said, and the rest of the nation will be brought in on the shoulders of kings and different things like that. People gonna help us get back home in the future. So what we have to do is stay focused and stay faithful to Yah and allow his word to come to pass and don't get caught up in all this other stuff that's going on out here in the world. Okay? Christ is the only one who's going to be able to deal with this system. We cannot fight this system. It is foolish to even try. That's why it's so upfront and open now, because the mission has pretty much been accomplished. Ain't nothing we can do. Ain't nothing we can do. Christ himself is going to have to deal with it. Laws are going to constantly be passed. Things that we don't agree with. All this stuff is going to come to pass. We're just going to have to make a decision whether we want to be a part of it or not. And I do encourage, based upon what the scripture says, that we not. Because anything that agrees with it and lines up with it and take its system protocol, scripture said that, you know, that there's no hope for them in a nutshell. And so I just wanted to point that out. And as you look at different scriptures and things like that, you see the changes. Remember the in that days and things like that. And this is how we're supposed to study the scriptures to make sure that we understand these things. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. Any questions, comments at this point? You have anything else there? Good. Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name as we have gotten in your word and gotten an understanding of how we should operate as a nation of people. There are going to be events that's going to be happening in the future. Our immediate future, things are going to get worse and worse for us as a people. But we're to walk in the understanding and know all these things have been decreed because it is necessary to drive us as a people back to our Yah. And we submit to him willfully, and we seek his wisdom on how we're to operate in these last days. And we bless you in the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right.